The next case to be heard is number 2014-723, Columbus City Schools Board of Education versus Franklin County Board of Revision. And, well, why don't we just settle for here for a second and let the tax commissioner get out of the room. And and now in this more intimate gathering, Mr. Gillis, present argument for the Board of Education.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Columbus City School District. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. In its new two-page summary form decision, the Board of Tax Appeals has abdicated its statutory duty to independently determine true value of real property. So long as an appraisal report lists the correct as-of date, is prepared for tax purposes, and is attested to by an appraiser, the BTA has shown it will accept any proffered value regardless of the validity of the methodologies used or the mathematical errors contained therein. In fact, the Board of Tax Appeals has made clear that it will no longer address any arguments made by parties so long as these three criteria are met, even though those criteria have nothing to do with the value of any particular piece of property. In the present case, the Board of Tax Appeals, in fact, accorded the Board of Revision's decision an impermissible presumption of validity by failing to address the Board of Education's arguments and by blindly deferring to the owner's appraiser's, quote, subjective judgments, end quote, with no analysis of those judgments and their reasonableness whatsoever. It was unreasonable and lawful for the Board of Tax Appeals to fail to affirm the Board of Revision's decision and fail to address the Board of Education's arguments based upon an appraisal that was flawed and did not comport to the statutory purposes of real property taxation.
Let me ask you, I mean, just a preliminary look at this case indicates that this looks like a battle of appraisals. It looks like a fact-finding issue for the taxing authorities, but you're here before this court, and what is the legal issue for this court to resolve in this case?
Well, the legal issue to resolve in this case is that an appraisal which contains mathematical errors cannot be used as the value of the property. It's not a battle of appraisals because there was only one appraisal presented.
Okay.
The issue was that that appraisal included two fundamental errors. One was an error in the use of a full tax adder when the appraiser valued the property on a net lease basis. A net lease requires the tenant to pay taxes. Therefore, it is improper to include real estate taxes as an expense to the owner, which was done in this case in the form of a tax adder, without accounting for the reimbursement that would be required under the lease by the tenant. All the BTA had to do was correct this error. It has done so numerous times before. The second error is a error with regard to deferred maintenance and a bulk deduction at the on the bottom line of the appraisal. This court in Hotel Statler, with regard to bottom line deductions in general, said, if appellant's appraiser believed adjustments needed to be made in his income approach, he should have made the adjustments in his determination of income, expenses, or capitalization rate. In other words, you don't take a bottom line deduction. With regard to dollar for dollar deductions, in specifically which were done in this case, the same case indicated that it was improper to take a deduction on a dollar for dollar basis unless the appraiser proved that there was a loss in value equal to the cost to cure. That was not done here either.
But you would readily recognize that the points that you're making are rather technical points with respect to the validity of what the appraiser has done, to the point where why should the court not simply defer to the taxing authorities as to whether or not the appraisal, looking at it from the other side, if the court accepts your argument, now the door is open. Anybody who thinks that there's a technical problem with an appraisal that was used below now asks this court to evaluate, you know, from a technical standpoint, the validity of the appraisal. What's the principle that makes this case the one, you know, one that ought to be reviewed by this court, but would not open the floodgate, so to speak, to appealing every decision to adopt an appraisal?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind is that the Board of Tax Appeals made no findings of fact on these arguments in the first place. They summarily accepted the appraisal for three reasons: that it had the correct tax lien date, that it was done for, quote, tax purposes, whatever that means, and it was attested to by an appraiser. That means that anybody can slap an appraisal down that is replete with errors, and the Board of Tax Appeals is not going to get into the substance of the appraisal, which it's required to do. The Board of Tax Appeals is required to review the evidence on a de novo basis, not defer to the Board of Revisions determination, and make an independent determination of value. The only way that this court can ever review a Board of Tax Appeals decision is if the Board of Tax Appeals states specifically the evidence that it relied upon and the findings of fact that it found. That didn't happen in this case. They merely said there was an appraisal that had the right as of date, and there was an appraiser there, therefore that's the value.
Let me ask you this, did at the appraisal was presented at the Board of Revision hearing, is that right?
That's correct.
And there was testimony by the appraiser?
That's correct. The appraisal was presented for the first time. That's another note for this court to take into consideration, is that a Board of Education does not have any discovery power at the Board of Revision. In most instances, we are presented with the appraisal for the first time when the hearing starts. And so there's no opportunity at that point to review the report except when the appraiser is testifying. You're doing it on the fly. Our first opportunity to do any discovery of any sort or investigate that report is at the Board of Tax Appeals. That was done here. Our issues were raised on brief. Questions at the Board of Revision level were asked of the appraiser with regard to a vacancy-weighted tax adder. The issue of bottom-line deductions is one that the Board of Tax Appeals has routinely rejected. As a matter of fact,
did the Board of Education's attorney make some of these points that were made at the BTA to the Board of Revision?
There were questions of the appraiser, right, with regard to a vacancy-weighted tax adder, yes. There were questions with regard to lump sum deductions. The Board of Revision has to be held to have knowledge of the results of its own decisions when they're overturned on those same bases, as far as whether or not they've accepted appraisals with these two flaws, and they are reversed by the Board of Tax Appeals. They're a party to the Board of Tax Appeals cases. They get notice of those decisions. For us to have to reiterate every point of law, having just seen the appraisal in a hearing that generally takes 15 or 20 minutes, doesn't make a great deal of sense. On appeal, the Board of Revision and the auditor are both parties. They get notice of those decisions. They get notice of those reversals. With regard to bottom-line deductions, the Board of Tax Appeals in previous cases has gone into great detail outlining why these aren't acceptable, relying upon the Hotel Statler case. In Castlebrook Capital Advisors versus Montgomery County Board of Revision, which is BTA case 2007A834, Board of Tax Appeals stated, we find the above described lump sum deduction to be inappropriate. Specifically, the appraiser attempted to account for deferred maintenance issues and security concerns at the subject property through a lump sum deduction for renovations that he claimed were necessary in order for the subject to achieve market rents set forth in the report. That's the same thing that's happened in this case. So they rejected in one case specifically with good analysis, and then now they summarily accept it with no analysis whatsoever. So it would appear then that the Board of Tax Appeals can issue arbitrary decisions and they can't be challenged before this court. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the recently pronounced Bedford rule, where this court has said that if a Board of Revision accepts a property owner's specific and plausible evidence, that the Board of Revision's decision has been held to eclipse the auditor's value as the default value. However, an appraisal report with clear and correctable errors cannot be considered plausible evidence on its face without it being corrected, and therefore Bedford cannot apply. In other words, even under the Bedford rule, this court's case law on this type of matter applies with equal force to a Board of Revision's decision as the newly instated default value as the auditor's original value was. Therefore, an appellant before the Board of Tax Appeals, if they affirmatively negate the court's term, the Board of Revision's decision by showing errors in the report that can be easily corrected, then that Board of Revision's decision cannot be affirmed, just like the auditor in Dayton Montgomery Port Authority, where they found a specific error in the auditor's value and stated you can't revert back to that auditor's value.
So is the Board of Education here saying that perhaps the appraisal should be accepted with the correction of certain errors, or is the Board of Education saying that we should revert to the auditor's original valuation of the property?
The Board of Education is indicating that the Board of Tax Appeals was required to correct the errors in the report and independently determine value. They did not do that in this case. If that happens to be, assuming in general that there is sufficient evidence to determine value, which is always the fallback on that. Here we believe there is sufficient evidence to independently determine value, but the Board of Tax Appeals cannot summarily accept a report without addressing the obvious errors that this court has indicated are errors, and without not even addressing them, but not correcting them. So we would request that this court remand this matter to the Board of Tax Appeals to analyze the evidence, address the Board of Education's arguments, and independently determine value by issuing findings of fact and conclusions of law based upon the evidence presented to it.
A vacate and remand,
okay. Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Ms. McFadden.
Good morning. I am here this morning to argue this case. Not all the other cases, not some pattern of cases, not some template of decision making that appellant is trying to convince this court is somehow broadly in effect over at the Board of Tax Appeals. We as lawyers are not witnesses. We are not here to present evidence before this body, which is not an evidence-taking body. And with all due respect, you do not sit as a trier of fact. Specifically, this court has been clear that it does not sit as a super board of tax appeals or as a trier of fact de novo in cases like this one. That's settled law. So I think it's important to go back and look at what happened here. This is not a case where we have competing appraisals where we're evaluating the relative merits of those appraisals that had reached different conclusions for different reasons. This is a case where evidence was presented by only one party. If you look at what appellant is trying to do here, it's trying to get this court to accept the legitimacy of what, this isn't a legal term, but I think any kid on a playground knows what it is, a hide-the-ball strategy, where you don't present evidence, you don't give the courts below, and I'm analogizing this to any sort of court case, but we're talking here about the Board of Revision and the BTA. You don't give them any opportunity to look at the evidence that you're now arguing you deem to be very important to be heard on remand. They want a do-over when they didn't even try to do the right thing in the first go-round. We don't allow that in the law for a very good reason.
What about Counselor's point that at the BOR hearing, usually the appraisal is presented for the first time, so it's difficult for the Board of Education's counsel to...
Well, they had a full and fair opportunity to cross-examine. They ask, if you listen to the tape, and I took the time to do that yesterday in preparation of this argument, only one question about that tax editor, which was to ask if he, at any point in the income approach, and mind you, the income approach wasn't the one that he ultimately relied on because it was the less reliable of the two approaches. If he had included a tax editor anywhere in that approach, and he pointed the counsel to a page in his report, yes, he had, he pointed to the page, they immediately cut off the examination, they did not ask him to explain how he had used it, they did not ask him to explain whether he used a full tax editor, they did not ask him to how that explained how it affected the ultimate conclusion or how it related to the calculations that were two pages previous where he clearly had not included a tax editor on either side of the income equation, used base rent only. So if you listen to what they're really saying here is they want to be the appraiser as counsel. They're not wearing counsel's hat. They want to be the super appraiser here and convince this court that they know more than that appraiser did at either stage. Now, they had another shot. They said they didn't get to know what he was going to say until the Board of Revision, where they had a full and fair opportunity to cross-examine, for some strange reason elected not to pursue anything more than that one question, apparently assuming down the road they would just hide the ball. Well, did they follow a hide-the-ball strategy? Well, that becomes really clear at the next stage. We had Mr. Moyer on deck. We had no burden of proof at that stage of the game at the BTA. They were appealing. They had the burden of proof. They could have brought an appraiser in and gone through the analysis that they deemed to be the appropriate analysis that they contend now to this court would have been the appropriate analysis that they apparently now want to do in a redo on a remand, but they didn't. They didn't give a witness list. They didn't put in any effort whatsoever to communicate to try to resolve those issues. We go into court and they rest. They present no evidence whatsoever. Well, they can't say at that point they didn't know what Mr. Moyer did.
Was there a hearing at the BTA?
Yes. Okay. I went to the hearing. I had my witnesses ready and available to testify if, you know, to counter whatever they were saying. If there was any mystery here from a lack of discovery, it was we had no idea what they were going to do because they hadn't put any evidence on below. They had heard Mr. Moyer. They knew everything he'd said. They had his written appraisal. They'd had an opportunity to cross-examine him. So this nonsense, and I presume it's nonsense, about shucks, we didn't know at the BTA level because we don't have any elaborate discovery rights. Well, I agree, they don't, but they had a complete opportunity to question him. Same difference, the equivalent of a deposition. That they didn't utilize it completely is not something that they should now ask this court to forgive. They needed to do that. They needed to give the BTA a fair opportunity to look at the issues that they now want to argue to this court are determinative. That's our job as counsel. We may not want to have always, we may be a little fearful of what might come out of the mouths of witnesses, but it's not our job to be a witness. We are not appraisers. However, and my honorable opponent may be a lot smarter than I am about appraisals, but he's not an appraisal. And what he says is not evidence. What I say is not evidence. We have to put that evidence before the courts who are the triers of fact. And with all due respect, that's not this court. So they hide the ball and they wait to make these mathematical arguments after the BTA after the Board of Revision proceedings are concluded. And I would submit that this is offensive to concepts of due process. It's also highly inefficient. We get a do-over because we didn't do our job to begin with. That's not an acceptable proposition in any case, and it's not confined to these cases. I don't have a great deal more to say, except that even their mathematical calculations and their other things don't really add up, because for them to be valid, they would have had to have more evidence in the record to truly conclude that Mr. Morey's evaluation was inaccurate. That one cryptic question, which is where they're hanging their whole hat, of whether or not he included a tax editor, only makes sense if you make a whole lot of other assumptions that aren't in the record. So I would suggest to this court that what they're doing here is unfair, not just to our client, which had to expend time, effort, attorney expense, et cetera, to develop a record, but also unfair to the Board of Revision and the BTA to suggest that the BTA didn't look at the evidence, because the only evidence in the record supports only one conclusion, and that is the conclusion that's in this decision. Admittedly, it's somewhat of a summary decision, but they didn't have to analyze competing evidence. They didn't have to say, we agree with this evidence for this reason and reject the opposing evidence for this reason, because there wasn't any opposing evidence. So to suggest that they should go the extra mile, and I would submit that what they're asking the BTA to do is counsel's work. To go the extra mile and do the mathematical calculations that we couldn't be bothered to ask Mr. Moye about, to introduce into the record the evidence that we couldn't be bothered to introduce. Look at these other cases that you've done, BTA, and extract from them what we might have asked had we bothered. No, that is fundamentally wrong, it's fundamentally unfair, and it's highly wasteful. So I would submit that the BTA's decision is not only grounded in the correct evidence, it's grounded in the only evidence. And that's the only evidence before this court. A remand would be wasteful. It would send the wrong signal to lawyers who are obligated to do their jobs below. We did our job, and we'd ask the court to find that the BTA did its job. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McFadden. Mr. Gillis, you've reserved 2 minutes and 28 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you. One thing we didn't hear is that the errors don't exist, because they do. The evidence in the record doesn't support the value that was affirmed by the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals is required to do a de novo review of the evidence and independently determine the value of the property. What counsel is arguing is that they should be able to walk into a Board of Revision, plop an appraisal on the table, tell their appraiser to clam up and not say anything, and put it on the burden on the Board of Education to draw out any and all errors in that report after just being handed the report. They rested on their own appraisal, errors and all, and they haven't been refuted here. What they're saying is that since we didn't do more at the Board of Revision level, that their error-filled report should be accepted. That's not the BTA's role here. The BTA's role is to determine value, not rubber stamp a Board of Revision's decision, not say, well, the Board of Revision found it to be plausible evidence and so therefore will accept it. The Board of Education, under this court's decision in Vandalia Butler, is permitted to attack their evidence and show its flaws. Doesn't come without risk. If we're not successful in showing those flaws, then that decision can be affirmed. However, here, the two errors are clear. And today, they seem to be unrebutted. They just seem to want to say, well, you didn't notice it at the BOR, you didn't ask specific questions or inform the Board of Revision of the decisions that it has had overturned by both the BTA and this court as to why it couldn't accept it. We'd only seen the report that morning. We made all those arguments at the Board of Tax Appeals. The appraiser was asked about a vacancy-weighted tax adder, which is the specific issue in question, and certainly put the Board of Revision on notice that it should have been used when, in the report itself, Mr. Moy indicated that he was appraising it on a net basis. The bottom line deductions go without saying. This court has overturned those, and the BTA has done so repeatedly. To fail to address any arguments is reversible in and of itself.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.